Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. When you think of the image of the Good Shepherd, what comes to mind? Often we think of a scene of peace and quiet. Shepherd and sheep leisurely enjoying a bright summer's day in a glorious mountain meadow. Not a care in the world. All is calm, all is bright. But the text appointed for today, the Good Shepherd Sunday, the third Sunday of Easter, hardly paints a picture of leisure and ease for the shepherd Jesus. Instead, our scripture lessons describe a shepherd who is busy and active, a shepherd who does not rest, but is hard at work, a shepherd who takes his duties and responsibilities seriously, even at great personal cost to himself. Think over what you just heard a moment ago in our Old Testament epistle and gospel lessons. Christ, our Good Shepherd, is the subject of nearly all the active verbs in those scripture passages. And he must be. For if Christ is the shepherd, we are the sheep. And you've probably heard enough sermons on this passage to know what sheep are like. Defenseless, mostly oblivious, and generally not very smart. It's the nature of sheep to wander off and or lag behind. Sheep nibble and nibble, they move from one tuft of grass to the next without any awareness of their surroundings. And of course, this is why people call those with whom they disagree sheep, accusing them of not thinking for themselves. Accusing them of just following the herd and being easily led about. But whatever your political or cultural views may be, Jesus says that you all alike are sheep. You may think that you're cleverer or braver or more independent than the great majority of humanity, and maybe you are, at least here on earth, but before God, you are a sheep. You're not a sheepdog. You're not a wolf, not a lion, or any other creature you can imagine, but a sheep. And if you would be saved, this must be so. You must acknowledge this truth, that you are a sheep. For Christ is the good shepherd of the sheep. He suffered for the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. He knows his sheep, and he cares for his sheep. Good shepherd works. The good shepherd is active. And if he is to work for you and to be active on your behalf, you must be a sheep. Now, the prophet Ezekiel spoke extensively of the works of the good shepherd in our Old Testament lesson this morning. And these works are further explained and clarified by the apostle Peter and the Lord Jesus himself in our epistle and gospel lesson. To summarize what they wrote, the good shepherd seeks out his flock and rescues them. The good shepherd brings out his flock and gathers them. The good shepherd watches over his flocks and tends to them. And finally, the good shepherd makes his flock lie down and he gives them rest. In the first place, then, the good shepherd seeks out his flock and rescues them. This, of course, implies that the sheep are lost and in danger, and indeed they are. For as we heard, there are many, many enemies who would cause great harm to the sheep. Just before our Old Testament lesson begins, the Lord rebukes those wicked shepherds of Israel who care nothing for the sheep, but only use the sheep to gratify their own desires. These are akin to those hired hands who would leave the sheep and flee when they see the wolf coming. Who are these wicked shepherds, these hirelings, but those false teachers, those who peddle false doctrine and see the gospel as only a means to their own material comfort? Why should they care whether or not the sheep wander away, so long as they are fed and clothed? And if there's any threat of danger from a wolf, they'll run off and leave the sheep on their own. And there is indeed a wolf, There is one who would snatch and scatter the sheep, the devil. He snatches and he scatters through deception. He misleads the sheep into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. By these, he would drive the sheep away from their shepherd into hopeless isolation, to ultimately death and eternal condemnation. But though there are these vicious enemies who would steal you from your shepherd or leave you alone and defenseless, you, the sheep, are not totally without blame. Quite the opposite, in fact. God is clear. You wandered. You went away by your sins. You turned away from Him to your own way, a way that leads right to hell. And though there are false teachers who have failed to watch over the sheep, and though there is a wolf who would devour sheep, soul and all, you can blame no one but yourself if you end up lost and condemned. You bear the guilt for your wandering. But again, the first work of the Good Shepherd that we consider today is that He sought you, that He rescued you, that He did the work for your salvation. When He saw the wolf, He did not flee like the hired hands. And yet, when He confronted the wolf, He did not defeat it with violence. Instead, as He said, He laid down His life for the sheep. St. Peter writes, "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly." In place of the sheep, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, offered Himself up to be devoured by the wolf, by death itself. But when He died, death and the devil suffered their ultimate defeats. The victory was won by the Good Shepherd who lost His life, who gave Himself up in order to rescue the sheep. What better name is there for that day when the Good Shepherd laid down His life than Good Friday? For by His wounds, you have been healed. And as we celebrate in this Easter season, the Good Shepherd who had the authority to lay down His life also had the authority to take it back up again. That's why the book of Hebrews concludes with this benediction. "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, because God brought again from the dead the great Shepherd of the sheep, Christ is indeed our Good Shepherd. Christ is risen indeed, and He is our Good Shepherd indeed. And it's in His deeds that Christ proves that He is risen. Upon His resurrection and ascension, our Lord Jesus did not rest on His laurels. He did not enter that calm and peaceful meadow so that He might not lay up a finger again. No, as the great and risen Shepherd of the sheep, Christ continues to work. He continues to carry out His duties, His deeds, on behalf of and for the sake of His flock. And thus, in the second place, the Good Shepherd brings His flock out and He gathers them. As we heard St. Peter conclude his epistle, or the second chapter of this epistle, he calls Jesus the Shepherd and Overseer of your souls. And another way to translate this phrase would be the Pastor and Bishop of your souls. And by this, Peter indicates that our Lord's work is churchly. As Ezekiel prophesied, Christ brings His sheep out from the peoples. He gathers them from the countries and brings them into their own land. By the power of His Holy Spirit, Christ has called us out of the darkness of this fallen world into the marvelous light of His church, His body. And in fact, this is what the word church means in the original language. It means called out, for we who are members of His body, the church, have been called out of our former wanderings we have been returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. As we confess in the small catechism, Christ's Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. But we are not called out of solitude into solitude. Rather, as we continue in the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, in the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus in the one true faith. We are brought out of the wilderness of this world to be gathered with fellow sheep, to be made one flock under Christ, our good shepherd. We are sheep from every nation, from all tribes and all peoples and all languages, and yet there is one shepherd who is head over all. Now, how does Christ bring out his wandering sheep? How does he gather them into his one flock? He does so through the gospel, through the good news, the word of his death and resurrection for us sinners. Our Lutheran confessions say this about the church: for thank God, today a child 7 years old knows what the church is, namely holy believers and lambs who hear the voice of their shepherd. Wherever the gospel is taught purely, wherever the sacraments are administered rightly, there Jesus, the good shepherd, is at work, seeking out lost sheep, gathering them into his flock, bringing them out from all those places where they were scattered on a day of cloud and thick darkness. And yet, even having gathered his flock together into his fold, our good shepherd's work is not done yet. In the third place, the good shepherd watches over his flock, and he feeds them, and he tends to them. Christ truly is the pastor and bishop of our souls, and he wills to exercise this office of shepherding and overseeing through pastors, through ministers of the gospel, as we heard much about last week. After our Lord rose from the dead, he gave to Peter this threefold commission: feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And thus it was through men like Peter, and not just the apostles, but those men who would follow in their footsteps, it's through such men that the good shepherd continues his work of feeding his sheep and binding them up and strengthening them here in the church, in the divine service. All of this is happening today, this morning. The absolution binds up your injuries. God's word strengthens your weaknesses. The sacrament of the altar feeds you with good things. Here in the Holy Christian Church, the Good Shepherd watches over you and he tends to you. Now, to be sure, you also remain in a world filled with clouds and thick darkness. In this world, there are still hired hands who care only for themselves and not for the sheep. There's still a wolf out there prowling around seeking whom he may devour. There are no shortage of enemies in this world who try to draw you out from this flock, out from the shepherd's watchful eye. But do not be afraid. Christ declares that you have been made a member of his flock by grace. And in this flock he feeds you and he tends to you. And, he promises, he knows you. And likewise you know him. This is a marvelous thing, a miraculous thing, in fact. For this knowledge that you share with him is the deepest sort of knowledge that exists. For the good shepherd and the sheep know one another just as God the Father and God the Son know each other, says Jesus. This is a knowledge beyond all human understanding, a knowledge that is only possible in the Holy Spirit, who is God himself. As the Father and the Son know and love one another in the Holy Spirit, so also you are known and loved by Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And you know and love him in the same as well. The Spirit has been given to you in your baptism. He lives in you. He teaches you to know the voice of your good shepherd, that by his work in you, you might hear and follow the shepherd all the days of your life. And so as you are tended and nourished here in the church by your good shepherd, working through pastors who preach the word and administer the sacrament, you are at the same time growing in the grace and knowledge of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And finally, in the end, the good shepherd promises that he will make his flock lie down and give them rest. In his perfect time, the shepherd will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, to separate between the sheep and the goats. The goats, that is, those who rejected Christ in unbelief, will depart from him into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and the angels. But the sheep he will finally lead out of this valley of sorrow, the valley of the shadow of death, into that kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. In that blessed place, there will be no more hirelings, no more wicked shepherds, no more wolves. They, like the fat and the strong, he will destroy. But for those who are truly his sheep, for those who are members of his flock, those who know his voice and follow him, for them will finally come that leisure and rest, that peace and quiet. For them will be that glorious meadow that we think of when we think of the Good Shepherd, along with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. We picture when we think of the Good Shepherd as true. It's not yet, but it's true someday. There will be freedom and rest, as we will be free from care, free from suffering, free from sin, free from death. But that day has not yet dawned. For now the Good Shepherd is still hard at work, for he does not want the death of any sinner. Rather, he earnestly desires their salvation. And that's why still our Good Shepherd Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, is risen indeed, searching and seeking and bringing out and gathering and feeding and binding up and strengthening. Christ is working in order that he might rescue lost sheep and bring them safely into the fellowship of his one flock. He is still working in order that he might tend to his sheep and feed them as he forgives all their sins and heals all their wounds. And he will continue working until that day when he will finally gather up his lambs and bring them to his side and make them lie down in green pastures, that they might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Please stand. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We can